humiliate her worse than Luke Skywalker did to that rebel pilot.
The exhaust shaft is only 2 meters wide, so you'll have to use proton torpedoes.
Well, that's impossible, even for a computer.
It's not impossible. I used to bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters.
Hey, can I talk to you privately for a second?
Sure.
That was unnecessary.
What's the problem?
Well, you just kind of called me out in front of everybody back there.
I was just making a point.
I know, but you like just kind of sandbagged me in front of everyone we know.
I sandbagged you?
In front of all of our friends, yeah. You sandbagged me.
I sandbagged you.
You sandbagged me,
well,
yes.
Well, here I am trying to help you with
something
that...
You know what? I don't need your kind of help, all right? Have a great assault, jerk.
TheForce.net and RebelScum.com present The Forcecast. And now your hosts, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
And we are honored that you joined us this week. This show for December 1st, 2006. We are The Forcecast, the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. I am Jason, and with me, as always, my good buddy Pete.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back.
Nice to have a rest, but it's good to be back.
Yes, and apparently... Well, let's say hello to our sponsors first. Our good friends at Official Picks, that's PicksWithAnX.com, your source for the best official Star Wars photos and autographs. And we have a couple of new Star Wars celebs that have joined the Official Picks family. This just in, Ian McDiarmid, the Emperor, is going to be signing for Official Picks. Apparently, this is pretty limited, so get over to the website and check it out as soon as possible. If you'd like to get... the darkest Lord of the Sith to sign a photo for you. Also, Hayden Christensen, slightly less dark Lord of the Sith, is actually right now signing for Official Picks. Apparently, there's a new 11x14 kind of theater widescreen photo that's available. So check those out. Again, that's officialpicks.com, PicksWithAnX.com. And as we were saying, we are glad to be back. Apparently, our absence caused quite a stir among some of.
Not intentional by any means. We're not looking for any free publicity, but we're sorry about not announcing our little microcast debut prior to its appearance on the net.
Yeah, it apparently some folks were very concerned, which is nice. I mean, it's nice to have that problem, that people were concerned that something had happened to us, that we weren't coming back and doing the show, because we did release a microcast, Dustin Roberts. Good buddy, content manager at RebelScum.com and the official fan club president, put together this microcast of some Star Wars themed music just to sort of tide people over to the next Forcecast. That was really the idea behind it. And this is something we're going to continue to do. It won't be you and I doing it, but different staffers at TFN and Rebel Scum are going to be releasing these things, and they're going to have different formats and different topics and... you know, so it's just more content for folks to enjoy.
Right. Well, I mean, we may pop up once in a while, but
we may.
Basically, you know, more people want to get in on the fun that we're having, and we're stubborn. We don't want to let all that many people in, so we'll give them this little opportunity to show their wares, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully the more microcasts will be coming your way, and just more content. So, at any rate, we apologize for any confusion. We hope you enjoyed the microcast. I know Dustin worked hard on it. I thought it came off really well. So, if you're not a subscriber through the RSS feed and iTunes or whatever podcatcher you might use, you might want to check those out. In addition, make sure you check out, if you missed our Thanksgiving special that we had last week, you definitely want to check that out. We had a full hour-long interview with... Boba Fett himself, Jeremy Bullock, and it was fantastic. We had such a blast talking to Jeremy. We have some congratulations in order. Pete, you want to...
We did miss that last week because we were doing our Thanksgiving special, but we want to say our congratulations to all of our winners that we're going to announce here. Hopefully most of them checked by the forums. And
this
so
is
they
the longest
know.
Promotion ever. You know, yes. It's still going
yes.
on.
From the very beginning of October, we bring you the absolute winners... at the beginning of December. So, but congratulations goes out to Jason Taylor of Delavan, Delvin?
Yeah,
Delvin. Delvin, yeah. Delvin, Illinois. Sure. Josh Dutch of Mainesville, Ohio. Ed DeLista of Victoria, Australia. Jeff Ellis of San Francisco, California. Peter Dobson of Irving, Texas. Harry Dawes of Sherman Oaks, California. Lynn McInnish of Ozark, Missouri. Mark Scott of Evansville, Indiana. Chris Carter from Mount Pearl in Canada. And Devin Reed of Riverton, Utah.
Do you think Chris Carter is like the creator of X-Files? Chris Carter?
No, and I believe it is also not the wide receiver that played for the Minnesota Vikings. I believe this Chris Carter is his very own and very special person. And I'd also like to throw out there, we really appreciate everyone who voted for us, but also everybody who entered the contest by sending us an email. Because not only did you do what we asked you to do, which is put your address and your name and all that information in there, so many of you had some great, very nice things to say about us. And we read every single one of the emails. And we read all the emails that come in. And I feel bad sometimes that we don't get back to as many as we'd like to. But really, I really felt great about everything that everybody said sending in the entries, because it really made it very worthwhile for us.
I think we only had the one guy, I won't mention his name, that wanted to, he entered the contest and had nothing but bad things to say about us. You remember that guy?
Yeah, I don't think he won.
Oh, he might have.
I don't know.
We didn't pre-screen him. You know who you are out there, because you're still listening. Well, speaking of contests and promotions, we do have to mention that our sister website, I don't know if she'd be our sister or our cousin, but anyway, rebelscum.com is celebrating their 10-year anniversary. And they're having their own contest. There's going to be different prizes that they're giving out, 11 actual prizes total. The grand prize, you got to hear this. This is unbelievable. First prize, you get Barry Holland. Do you know who Barry Holland is? He played Lieutenant Renz in Return of the Jedi. He was the one that uttered those famous words, "You rebel scum," on Endor. And he is going to be signing several photos for the winner and making a personal telephone call to the winner's house to answer any questions he might have about that scene. And if that weren't good enough, this is really cool. The winner is going to have they're going to get flown out to California to Gentle Giant Studios. They're going to have a complete head scan, and a sculpt of a 12-inch scale head is going to be placed atop a Hasbro 12-inch figure of their choosing. They're going to be getting their own custom action figure, 12-inch figure. And it's totally cool. Totally cool. I don't think you and I are eligible to enter this contest, but I would. Oh, that'd be amazing.
They had to one up us too, you know.
Yeah, and we do want to say it's open to all countries. The prize package does include the domestic air and hotel to California from a domestic city or gateway city only. So, if you're a winner and you're from outside the U.S., you got to get yourself to the U.S. and then they'll fly you additionally to California. So there's also going to be some other prizes. So just check out rebelscum.com. There's a button that says free stuff on the right-hand side, and you can check out all the details there on how to enter. So it's going to be a very cool contest, and congratulations on 10 years. I mean, they're one of the originals, one of the very first sites out there keeping Star Wars alive. And speaking of celebrations, Celebration 4, we're counting down the weeks to the biggest Star Wars party ever. Pete, where are we at?
We are at 25 weeks and counting. That's right, 25 weeks.
Going to go fast, folks.
It's going to zip by, you know it. And because we missed last week, you get a bonus tip for this week. So here are your two tips for this week. First off, this was a great one that I really used a lot. That's take a poster tube. If you've got one of those poster tubes that you got in the mail, take one of those with you. You can roll up all your posters, stick them in there. That way they don't get damaged, they don't get folded. They'll look great when they come out. And you can usually stick your poster tube right in your backpack and walk around, look at it. It almost looks like an antenna. So And also, of course, take a pen, paper, markers, crayons, anything that you want, because you never know who you might run into walking around the floor. So, you know, we did see a bunch of people out, and who knows, you may just see two of your favorite podcast hosts just wandering around. Not that we won't have our own paper.
25 weeks till Celebration 4.
It's a celebration.
I know I've said it before. I love that song.
Isn't I love it? How you work that in there, too. Speaking of celebrations, every single week you surprise me how you can slip that in.
Well, yes, it's the art of the forced segue, I guess, is what I call it. Well, you know, we've been talking a little bit about the holidays, and now that the holidays are upon us, it's time to not just think about all the things that we'd like to get and everything on our Christmas list. It's time to remember the folks that are less fortunate, and Star Wars fans, I think, do that better than almost any large fan group, network of fans for any franchise. They always, always remember those less fortunate and are always the first to volunteer for various charities around their communities. And being that Rebel Scum is pretty much a toy-centric and collectible-centric site, they did put a reminder that, you know, as you're going out and you're plunking down that money for the Imperial Shuttle at Target, pick up a couple of action figures and drop it into your local Toys for Tots box. They're a great charity. I mean, they've been around forever. Never really heard anything bad about them. And what better way to celebrate Star Wars fandom and Star Wars collecting than by remembering the kids out there that can't afford this stuff and providing them with a Darth Vader figure. God knows there's plenty to go around, right? So, and speaking of which, there was a great, I don't know, for those of you that are subscribers to the fan club, the Bantha Tracks had a nice little write-up about all of the different fan organizations and how they support their local charities. There's great photos of the 501st buying toys for Tots, and looks like some of them are actually giving out some food maybe at a local shelter. So, of course, in full costume. So check that out if you're a member of the official fan club, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be. Also, we wanted to shout out to the folks in the Santa Monica, California area. Why not check out Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, on the big screen again? And not just any presentation of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, but how about watching it with the one, the only, Industrial Light Magic's own model builder, Lorne Peterson. Lorne is going to be on hand in Hollywood, in Santa Monica, for the American Cinematheque presentation screening of Episode 4. That is on December 9th. I believe that's at 7:30 at, it looks like, I can't see it. Where's it at? The Arrow Theater. That's a Saturday. So make sure you head out for that. If you're in the area, he'll be signing his book, of course, afterwards. And there doesn't say anything about a Q&A, but I would imagine that's probably something on the agenda. So we'll have the link to that on our show notes. Also, just as a quick follow-up to a story that we covered, it's a nostalgic story to me because it was one of the first ones we talked about and actually got some emails on, is this Jedi training thing going on at Disneyland. They have photos. This thing's going on right now, and they have photos of it, and it looks super cool. I got to say, I was a little dubious about it, you know. It's like, oh, Disney and Jedi training, but I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the pictures, Pete, but
The one thing that just disappoints me is that I wouldn't be able to participate.
Well, well, God knows that we covered that. I'm certainly not tall enough or smart enough or whatever to actually play a role. And we're all, you know, obviously too old for...
Right, to be pulled out of the crowd.
Yeah, right, right.
Just like I don't get to sit on Shamu anymore.
But the costumes look great. And the Darth Maul...
It looks like a lot of fun.
The Darth Maul is just dead on. The guy that they got to play Darth Maul. So check those photos out. Those are at the official site also. I believe they were in the Bantha Tracks for the most recent issue. So that's our housekeeping. We'll get into your Star Wars news. We got a great show. No Cantina this week. Sorry, we'll be back next week with a Star Wars celeb. But for now, let's punch it.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
Well, you folks in the UK that are getting ready for your own celebration, Celebration Europe, might be interested to know that there's been enough anticipation of this and enough buzz that they thought, you know what? We need to move this to a bigger venue. So it's no longer going to be in Earl's Court. It's going to go to the larger venue, the XL in London. Now, the dates are still the same. It will run Friday, July 13th through Sunday, July 15th. But it's going to move to XL, which is apparently London's largest conference and exhibition venue. Now, there's a quote here stating that the decision to move the venue was not one that was taken lightly. This is Barry Eldridge. He's the coordinator for Star Wars Celebration Europe. He says, "We're confident that the move offers us the ability to provide Celebration Europe attendees with the best possible experience in July. Celebration Europe tickets and Celebration Europe accommodation packages are scheduled to become available in November." So make sure wait a minute. Did I say November? It looks like they're a little behind on this story. So I don't think they're available yet, the tickets.
I don't know.
So if you're a UK listener, drop us an email. Send us your thoughts on what this means for you. I mean, I have no idea. I don't know one of these convention centers from the other. So if you've got an opinion on it, drop us a line at podcast@theforce.net or give us a call 330-871-4TFN. Of course, you can always Skype us for free at ForceCast. Did you see this poster? Is this cool or what?
Is awesome.
It's
that's the type of thing that you put on your wallpaper at work or you print out and put on your station or whatever. It is very cool.
It is very, very cool. It's got the London skyline and some Star Destroyers coming in like they're invading the London area with the Death Star up at the top. It's a very cool poster for Celebration Europe. So check it out at celebrationeurope.com or, of course, the official site, starwars.com.
Well, there are some other UK followers that are jumping into the news this week. Two self-styled Jedi Knights are stepping up a campaign for formal recognition of the Jedi Order. John Wilkinson and Charlotte Law approached the UN with a letter asking them to change the International Day of Tolerance to the Intergalactic Day of Tolerance, also looking for recognition for anyone who talks about or refers to Jedi as their religion. Now, this comes out of not just their own desire, but the fact that in the UK, during the 2001 census, 400,000 people recorded their faith as Jedi. There's also 70,000 in Australia, 53,000 in New Zealand, and 20,000 in Canada. Now, the 400,000 in England puts that ahead of other recognized religions like Hindu and, what was the other one? Judaism, which I found very surprising.
Wow.
You know, this is a story that tugs at both sides of me. Because there's the very real possibility and probability that this story will only vault us further into the Trekkie syndrome. The you know, taking Star Wars even further out of the mainstream, and we'll either be, you know, those weird people who, you know, Star Wars fans, oh, they're their own kind.
Yeah.
Or then we get lumped in with Scientology and all the people in California and the celebrities that, you know, everybody goes, oh, look, it's L. Ron Hubbard's second coming. It's George Lucas coming with his own faith. Well, that's not really true, but there's some legitimacy here. You know, the thing about religion, and I won't go into a big diatribe on that, but the thing about it is that the baseline of any religion is the principles that those who are sure. following follow.
Right.
And the Jedi Order, and as it's written out, has the principles that you would look for in a great human being. And you look for in that leadership. And it stems from the fact that George called on a lot of the great religions and histories of the past to come up with the Jedi Knights. And, you know, I've read that he based them a lot on the Templar Knights from way back when. But, you know, so there is that also that part of me that says, you know, there is legitimacy here, you know. But it's going to be taken too far by certain people, and the ones who are going to get the press aren't the ones who are just following the Jedi teachings. It's the ones who demand to, you know, let them carry real lightsabers during the day or whatever.
Well, you know, I remember reading a story. If you don't have a copy of the book, George Lucas Interviews, you need to check that out. I found it on campus when I was at OSU. And I've never really done an Amazon search for it or to see how widely available it is. I would assume you just could find it in just about in any of the large e-tailers. But it's just full of interviews with George from, pre-graffiti THX era all the way up through the announcement of the special editions and the prequels. And it's revealed in one interview that Francis Coppola proposed to Lucas that, you know, if you really want to make it in this world and have plenty of money and never have to worry about anything again, why don't you start your own religion based on these movies? I think it was after the first one came out. And apparently George never even entertained the idea. And I'm kind of glad that he didn't, actually, because I think that it really would have taken it to a level where I don't necessarily personally, as a Star Wars fan, want to see it to go. So it's an interesting story. I don't really have a strong opinion on it. My own personal faith is such that it doesn't really shake me one way or the other. But
true. I mean, it's not going to interfere with anything that I do if there are people who are recognized by this. But interestingly enough, there were a couple other articles that popped up out of this. And there was an article that kind of just hit on the fact that there is a desire for... It was basically talking about how there's demand for more Star Wars movies because the spirituality of it is something that people are looking for, especially in the United States. Actually, this article dealt specifically with the United States because of the state of the world and the world we live in, that they are looking for that type of leadership that's above and beyond what we have as the human.
Well, I absolutely agree with that. I really don't think that there's anything, and I love the guy, but I don't think that there's anything really noble or it doesn't make any sense to me why we won't get any more films. I think that the universe is so large, and the expanded universe has proven that there's so much fertile ground to play with. Why this universe couldn't be turned over to another capable director and create a film that doesn't interfere with the Skywalker storyline or timeline is fine with me. Because I really do think the world does need these films. Certainly, when A New Hope came out in 77, I mean, George talks all the time about how it sort of brought America out of the doldrums of the later 70s and kind of woke some people up and kind of made them feel young again. And so I think, George, if you're listening, the world still needs you. And we need Celebration 4. More Celebration 4 news. So, attention all Star Wars fans, now is your chance to participate and become a part of Celebration 4 itself. Over at StarWars.com, there's information about free booth space available to fan clubs who would like to participate in the event. Space is limited, and your group has to meet the qualifications prior to being approved. Also, if you have any idea for any panels or discussions or forums or anything that you'd like to see happen at Celebration 4, there's also a place at StarWars.com to submit those suggestions. Now, some of the guidelines, if you're interested in actually having a table and a display to recruit members to your particular club or organization, there are some very specific guidelines. Now, clubs that qualify are going to be supplied with an 8-foot table and 2 chairs in a space approximately 10 by 10. Clubs are going to be asked to make specific arrangements with the facility if you need anything in particular, like maybe you know, internet access or whatever you need. You got to make those arrangements with the facility. The fan group table location is yet to be determined, but it's probably going to be in one of the large exhibition halls in combination with other fan-sponsored displays and activities in an area called the Fanfare Exhibit Hall. Now, here's the catch. Now, I thought, hey, this would be great. Pete and I can have a table. But here's the catch. They have to be staffed by at least one person who represents the club, which for Pete and I, it's the two of us. at all times during the hour, unless Jay Shepard could maybe man the store a little bit. But, you know, he'll be floating around doing his thing. So here are the times, you know, Thursday from 12 to 8, Friday from 10 to 7, Saturday from 10 to 7, Sunday 10 to 7, Monday 10 to 4. So if you're planning on doing this, you got to make sure you have a pretty big staff, because obviously you're going to be wanting to float around and enjoy the convention and not necessarily be tied to a table. So, but it's still a great opportunity for fan organizations to recruit members and all of that. So check it out at StarWars.com. I'm sure you can see it at the official site, StarWarsCelebration.com, also, if you're interested in having a say in Celebration.
And it's just about time for Star Wars Insider Issue 91 to start shipping, and editor Frank Parisi, who we would... are looking forward to actually having on the show at some point, posted a great article regarding what's going to be enclosed in Star Wars Insider number 91. Now, it's just enough to whet your appetites for what you're going to be getting. So I'm going to kind of run down a little bit but if you want to check out and see a little bit more, check out Frank's blog on the official Star Wars website. Now, in this issue, they're going to have two separate covers, both with Darth Vader on it, celebrating the 30th anniversary that's upcoming, and the feature article is an interview with David Prowse, Darth Vader himself, and he's going to talk about living the dark side and acting the dark side and all sorts of other stuff, so it sounds like it's going to be great. And they started a new feature this week, or this issue, where they talk about vintage collectibles, and Pete Vilmer, who is an author of the Star Wars poster book, chimes in with an article that Frank raves about regarding bootleg collectibles. So I'm very interested to see how this comes out and what is the number one bootleg collectibles or some of the things that they've seen along the way. So I'm interested to hear what Pete has to say about that. Also, some things to look forward to. Jason Fry takes a look at the good, the bad, and the ugly of the Marvel Comics series. And
there's a lot of ugly there.
There is a lot of ugly in it, and there's some very weird and strange stuff that comes out of that. So that'll be a good wrap-up of what's going on there. And Jonathan Rinsler, who wrote the Making of Star Wars book, is going to be nice enough to share some uncovered storyboards that he found from the original A New Hope. And I guess it's stuff that's never been seen before, including this month's, which is Han Solo's rescue on the planet Alderaan. So it's something that I'm sure nobody's ever seen. So we'll have to see what's going on with that. And also, Frank Parisi himself gets to talk to Brian Garrard about the miniatures that they use for Mustafar. So jam-packed, as always. Star Wars Insider is something that we all look forward to. I know I look forward to it, and I know you
too.
Do as well.
I do, too. And I know that there are some folks that think, I don't need the magazine. I don't need the magazine. But it gives me something to look forward to every couple of months when I get it in the mail. I mean, I read the thing cover to cover, and just started. I used to kind of take it for granted. I'd get it and I'd flip through and look at the pictures the first round, and then I would just kind of pick and choose my articles. But since doing this show, I really decided I'm going to put my nose to the grindstone and read every article, even things that don't necessarily interest me all that much. And I mean, from a writer's standpoint, these guys really, guys and girls, really deserve a lot of credit, because they're not only writing, you know, compelling and interesting stories, but they do it with a really good Star Wars flair. And, you know, you got to have flair. So,
well, but, and there's nothing in there that doesn't scream Star Wars. And again, it's really worth it, because, like you said, even just for the photos.
Yeah.
The photos are fantastic. The layout is fantastic. They do an awesome job. That's one thing that they've really focused on, and they've taken it to a new level here in the last couple of years. So,
yeah, I think especially since the folks at Lucasfilm took it over. I mean, no disrespect meant to the other company there, but I think they've definitely brought it home, and the whole fan club, I think, feels a lot more Star Wars-y than before. Okay, and it's probably no one out there hasn't seen the Star Wars Kid video, the 2-minute clip of the teenage boy pretending to wield a Star Wars lightsaber is officially now the most popular viral video on the internet. The footage of, I'm going to say his name, it looks like Ghislaine Raza, who became known as the Star Wars kid, has been viewed 900 million times. Almost as many listens as our podcast. He recorded himself swinging a golf ball retriever. Is that what that was? I always wondered what it was. A golf ball retriever at his high school in Canada in 2003. Viral marketing company The Viral Factory collated page impression figures from websites such as YouTube and crowned this young man's video as the winner. Now, he never intended the video. This is, of course, all old news to most Star Wars fans, but he never intended this video to be made public. And when you look at it, you'll realize why. But and it actually took legal action against the classmates that he claimed had posted it on the internet. So you can check out the top 10 viral videos list, which Star Wars Kid is number one, over at it looks like at theforce.net. We'll have the link on our show notes. Some of the other ones that you might have seen, Afro Ninja. Have you ever seen Afro Ninja?
I've never watched Afro Ninja.
You haven't? The guy with the nunchucks and he does the backflip and he falls down flat on his face?
No.
Oh, it's great. It's great. And the fan-altered Star Wars kid videos that have shown up where they actually, you know, superimpose the real lightsaber effects and the sounds are just phenomenal, phenomenal. So check them out on YouTube. If you haven't seen Star Wars Kid, and there's some of you out there I know that haven't, it's not a big deal, make sure you see it because... It's just one of those things you just can't describe.
And picking up where they left off a couple of weeks ago with Shepparton, Lucasfilm is at it again as they have identified another pirate who is trying to sell... Not that kind of pirate. Who is trying to sell unlicensed merchandise, claiming that it is licensed. High-tech magic, owned by... William Osborne has been sued now by Lucasfilm for making bootleg lightsabers. His website, hightechmagic.com, has been offering fans the ability to purchase lightsabers similar to those available at Master Replicas for some years now. Okay, so here we are again. And you kind of feel for these people a little bit, but this is just really blatant. I went and looked just to,
I haven't been to the site.
My curiosity. And even though they're cool, it's like he uses Star Wars lightsaber, the Force, all that kind of stuff, number of times on the website. And the hilts are very similar, or right on, actually, of the hilts that are one in Star Wars. And, you know, what this boils down to and what it ultimately is part of, not only is Lucasfilm protecting its own copyright, but it's protecting the retailers that are paying for it.
Exactly.
You know, if, you know, any knockoff is going to be less money just because you aren't paying the royalties that you have to for putting out this website, and it's protecting those people. You know, they want to make sure that Master Replicas is getting the return on the investment that they made to decide to start making these lightsabers.
No doubt about it.
And you know, if people are out there and they're trying to get in on that market without paying the proper dues, as it were, Lucasfilm is going to come after them. And it's nice that, you know, if you can look at a silver lining of when someone gets sued, it's nice that they're out there protecting their retailers. You know, they are taking a very strong stance, and it's not up to Master Replicas to fight them. Lucasfilm is taking the mantle.
I don't think Master Replicas can. It has to be the actual copyright holder. This is an issue that comes up often on eBay. Where knockoffs are sold, knockoff watches, knockoff designer clothing, and it has to be, can't be a retailer, you know, Macy's or whatever, can't go after XYZ seller. It's got to be the copyright holder. So Lucasfilm is doing the right thing here, no doubt about it. And you know, let's not forget that they are incredibly generous when it comes to fan audio. I mean, look what we're doing, fan films. They really encourage just diving into the Star Wars universe and playing with all the toys. You just can't make money off of it. And it's pretty simple. Now, more video news. You can check out a video for Nerf Herder over at the website Zidio.com. That's Z-I-D-D-I-O, where they have a contest where they're asking you to join the Jedi Order by submitting an application of a 1 minute or shorter video. Already several entries to check out. They do have some prizes there. Let's see. I think I've got some details on the prizes. Let's see. What do we got? No, I don't. I don't have any details on the prizes, but I'm sure they're good prizes. But check it out, Zidio, Zidio.com. Did you watch the Nerf Herder music video?
No.
It was great.
Is it good?
Oh, it's really good. I mean, it is every bit as good as something that you would see on MTV or VH1. I mean, it's really good. So check it out. The song's great. I'm behind the time, so I have not heard the song until obviously seeing the video. And it's it's really cool.
It is good.
Yeah, so check that out at Zidio.com. And if you are an amateur filmmaker and you'd like to join the Jedi Order, you can submit your entry. Also, while we're along the lines of video news, I'd like to bring your attention to us over at IESB.net. They were able to get an interview, very quick interview, with Sam Huntington. Now, you may have heard of Sam before. Sam played Jimmy Olsen in the last summer's Superman Returns film. Well, this was at the DVD launch party, and IESB.net, they didn't ask him about Superman. They asked him about fanboys. Sam is in Fanboys, and the great, very quick interview with him, and he jokes around about Kyle Newman, talks about what a Star Wars geek Kyle is, but you know, he says, aren't we all? He says, I've never met someone who's not a Star Wars fan. You need to get around some of the people in my family. But anyway, he said, they talk about the trailer, and if you've seen the trailer, you know that it is pretty much laughs nonstop. It brings out the comedic elements of the film. And they asked him about, well, what about the emotional core? There is an emotional core to this film. It is about death, in a sense, and death of a lot of things, death of a friend, death of relationships, etc. And he says, yeah, he says, it's not in the trailer, but it's definitely in the movie. So don't, if you're somebody that's looking for a little more depth and not just kind of a slapstick, goofy comedy, still, Fanboys is the movie for you. Something else that was cool is he knew exactly who IESB.net was. He looked at him. He goes, are you from IESB.net? And they're like, yeah. And it was pretty neat. So you can tell that Sam is probably, you know, he's of the right age. He's going to be online and that sort of thing. I wonder if he's ever listened to the Forcecast.
We can only hope. Sam, if you're out there, give us a ring. You can contact us at podcast@theforce.net.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to hear that the Revenge of the Nerds remake is not happening. I had heard that in the last couple of weeks. That was the film that Kyle was working on now to follow up Fanboys, and apparently they ran into some production issues at the campus that they were filming on. So I hope they get that straightened out. Kyle's a great guy. Check out our show archives for our interview segments with Kyle Newman, the director of Fanboys. Fanboys is apparently coming out April 20th, 1 month prior to the 30th anniversary of Star Wars Episode 4. So make sure you check out all the details on our show notes.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
A fine addition to my collection.
He's worth a lot to me.
Oh, and it's time to bring you up to date on some collecting news. Now, this story, I just we couldn't fit it in anywhere else, but we're going to talk about it right here. If you are a fan of the micro collection, the vintage micro collection, these were the little die-cast figures that had the pretty nice playsets, actually, real nice playsets that went with them. The playsets sort of dropped off with Empire. They didn't do any for Jedi, but there were some prototypes that were unearthed recently, and StarWars.com did a great story on this Jabba the Hutt series of playsets that were supposed to be part of the Kenner Micro Collection. So it's kind of a what might have been if the line would have continued. And I was such a fan. And I still have some of those that I've been able to keep in pretty good condition over the years. I don't know whether there was something about that. The subsequent ones that came out never really captured the magic of those originals. So I didn't really get into the Micro Machines too much, but I loved that micro collection. So if you're a fan of vintage collectibles, and I know there's a lot of you are that listen to the show, and you haven't been there, go to StarWars.com and check out that story. Well, 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 we are down to the top two in the Saga Legends Fans Choice Countdown. We're down to Dark Trooper and the Imperial Officers. So here you go. Now, this is very important that you get out there over to RebelScum.com and vote, because the number one figure is actually going to be released as part of the 2007 Greatest Hits or Saga Legends line. Not wave.
Assortment.
Yeah, let's use that word. So check that out. It will be officially marked in the stores as fan choice number one. So it's very important that you get over there and vote for your favorite. And there's a great scorecard that you can check out at RebelScum.com that shows you how the tournament evolved over the last several weeks. And one more time, we just have to give kudos to Dan Curto, who put this together. An extraordinary job. We'd have loved to have had Dan on the show again this week, but just timing with holidays and us getting back in town and everything, it just didn't work out. But we definitely want to bring him on maybe next week and talk about the tournament now that it's over. It'll be over by then, and he can give us an idea of some of the ups and downs of it, so to speak. So kudos to Dan. It was a great promotion, and it's still going on, so make sure you check it out, rebelscum.com. Also, the Battle of Felucia Battle Pack has finally been revealed. Our friends over at 4inches.de, they get a lot of scoops, those guys over there. They have the first photos of the Battle Pack, including Ayla Sakura, Commander Bly, and 3-star Core Troopers, 2 repainted Clone Commanders, and 1 from the Evolution set. So you can check all the details there at RebelScum.com, and it's in 30th anniversary packaging. It looks really good. It looks good. I'm not a huge fan of the Battle Packs, but that one looks pretty good.
Well, and it leads nicely into something we'll be talking about a little later in the show.
It does?
Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Oh.
You'll just have to keep listening.
I guess I will. Speaking of boxed and packaged images, we finally have some photos of Commander Apo and the Elite Clone, the Elite Core Clone Trooper packaged on the cards in the... This is part of the Wave 9 of the Saga Collection. So if you're wondering what those are going to look like swinging on the pegs, take a look at that. And finally, the news, the big news, the shuttle has landed. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give a little personal anecdote. I know we don't want to talk about store reports on the show because, you know, this show goes out to so many people. But my brother called when I got home from work today. And he goes, I'm out at Target, and I was wondering, is there anything you're looking for? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm sure you're not going to find one. I really need that Imperial shuttle. He goes, it's here. They have 4 of them. I said, buy it. And they also had the snow speeder on clearance. $21.99.
That's awesome, because I must have been asleep when you called me and told me that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, my brother called. So anyway, the Target ad was for the Target circular ad for last weekend showed the Imperial shuttle vehicle on sale for $59.99. Not only do you get the glorious vehicle in all its new painted glory, you also get a couple of figures. You get Darth Vader and of course
you do.
And a Royal Guard. So it's a limited item. It's an exclusive only to Target. And if you've been listening to the show the last few weeks, you know that Hasbro's been very quiet about this particular item. And I don't know if maybe they didn't want to steal Target's thunder, so everybody knew. I mean, I guess you could kind of assume it was going to hit around Black Friday, around that time. It's a week late, it seems like. I know I was out Black Friday shopping, and I was at a Target. I did not see any. So they're a week late, but it's nice. So make sure you pick one of those up. And at that price, $59.99?
Not bad.
You can't beat that. Canadian collectors, you are in luck. Canadian collectors can rejoice as Walmart prepares for their Christmas season selling Onslaught. This year, the big store has brought in the exclusive Cantina Band Collector's Tin Set. as well as the Darth Tater Spud Trooper 2-pack. So I know there's always kind of some grumbling from the folks living outside the U.S. They don't always get the exclusives, but Canada is going to get the exclusive Cantina Band tin set. So make sure you be on the lookout for those. And if you're wondering what's next for the Titanium series, there's an article at RebelScum.com. Coming up in the Star Wars assortment is the Fire Spray Interceptor, the Imperial Attack Cruiser, Jabba's Sail Barge, and Luke's Snowspeeder. Now, there is a couple of Battlestar Galactica vehicles that are mentioned. So you might want, if you're a BSG fan, which Pete and I both are, actually, we'll let that cat out of the bag. You're not with me on the Trek, but you're with me on BSG.
I'm there.
There's some vehicles coming out there, but we won't bore you Star Wars fans with all those details. Speaking of titanium, if you're wondering what's going to happen with the titanium figures, you might want to check out RebelScum.com. Photos of the Han Solo, the Clone Trooper, and the Tusken Raider have surfaced. And if you are a fan of the titanium figures, which I'm just not. I'm just not. Especially the humanoid version, the humanoid characters. The Han Solo, it just... It's okay.
I'm picky. I'm more of a, I'm like you. I'm a character picker. If I'm gonna take any of those, I'm looking for my favorite characters as opposed to just collecting the whole thing.
Yeah, and I won't start a line unless I can get all of them. Pretty much, I'm making an exception with the General Giant statues, but that's just because I just no way I could ever afford it at this point. So I don't want to disparage. I mean, if you're a collector and you're really into the titanium figures, you know, more power to you. There's something in it that you probably really like. It's just something that, you know, I just don't see. But check out the photos. They're not. It's interesting. These photos aren't packaged photos. The figures are just sort of freestanding with a white background. So it's a little odd. They don't really have that typical titanium figure look. So also. Galactic Heroes. These look really cool. Have you seen these?
I have, but you know I'm not a fan of these either.
I know you hate these, but I don't know, man. They're starting to grow on me. You can check out the new wave of Galactic Heroes featuring Clone Wars Anakin Skywalker and Clone Trooper, Hammerhead and Figurin Don, and Clone Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi and Dirge. An earlier report stated that Darth Maul and Sith Speeder are also on tap for this wave, although no images of those have surfaced. These look cool.
They do look cool. They're
come on, give it to me. They're getting better. You're starting to like them.
They are getting better, but I'm not going to like them. And you can't get all of them, so I don't want to hear about you buying them either.
No, I probably won't be, but I do have some young cousins that are just now starting to be the right age to play with a toy like this, so they might be some Christmas presents maybe for some of them. At least I'll be able to see some little kids opening up some Star Wars toys. That would be nice. That's your Hasbro news. Let's see what Pete's got coming up next.
Well, all of you who are looking forward to the post-holiday shipment of your Jabba the Hutt, Sideshow Toys has released the edition sizes of these. Jabba himself will be set at 4,000 pieces, the throne environment at 4,200, and Salacious Crumb at 4,500. Now, I found that interesting.
Yeah, there's...
Are there going to be a lot of empty thrones out there? Or empty thrones with Salacious Crumb just kind of looking at him?
That's the name of my third album, by the way. Empty Thrones.
Yeah, I don't want to see the album cover on that one. But anyway, so you can look forward to that. Also, if you're dreaming of a Sith Christmas, you just may get it, as Darth Maul should be shipping within the next 20 to 25 days, probably even less than that as the show goes live, and you should be able to get your Darth Maul if you pre-ordered him within before December 25th. So that may be an early Christmas for you, or you may just get it right on Christmas. Well, I don't know if UPS is delivering that day, but what do you...
They'll deliver Christmas Eve day.
Okay. Well, so, yes.
That's a Sunday, isn't it, this year?
I've lost track.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, you might get it.
Yeah, you might get it. So. Also available from Sideshow is the Kit Fisto character key. So if you are collecting the Acme character keys, make sure you chime in for that one, because they go quick.
Oh, they do. They fly.
They fly. Sideshow is also having a Star Wars celebration. Not exactly a Star Wars celebration like they had this past Saturday for right after Black Friday, which was Star Wars Saturday, and I completely missed it. But if you didn't, if
not
you aren't,
that you're upset about
no,
that.
No, not that I'm mad at all. But starting December 4th and lasting through December 7th, there's going to be several holiday savings plus some fun contests, free items, and all sorts of other stuff that they're going to have. So make sure you're checking out Sideshow Toys every single day so you can see what special products they've got, not only in their Star Wars section, but also across the way. Now,
Can I just mention that they do have a dedicated page to all their holiday offerings that I think you can get onto.
They do.
Yes.
And
what?
As a bonus for that, they have introduced a new program, Sideshow Rewards. Now you say, what is Sideshow Rewards? Well, that is how they are going to reward their dedicated collectors for shopping and purchasing things. Basically, your purchases will earn reward points, which can be redeemed for some of the hottest collectibles. You can check out all the details at SideshowToys.com. And just to give you a breakdown of what it, eventually, as you accumulate your points for purchasing items, you can exchange 20 points for a dollar towards any purchase. So you'll have to go to the Sideshow Toys website to actually get the breakdown of how you're getting your points. And if you are already someone who has purchased from Sideshow Toy, you'll see your accumulated points.
Yeah, you just log into your account. And I did that earlier today, and I've got like almost 600 points pending, yes, which tells you how much money I spent on Sideshow Toys. I shouldn't broadcast that,
right,
actually.
But yeah, your wife might listen. And but that breaks out to almost $30,
right,
that you've got towards your next purchase. So, you know, with the collections the way they are, I mean, you can accumulate points pretty fast. And
yeah, if you're a completist nutcase.
Right, yeah. you know, and it's something that's, again, Sideshow stays ahead of the curve because they don't need to reward us. Their things are selling out the same day that they go up for sale. So it's not like they need to increase traffic to their website just to get us to come out. I mean, they get the sales that they need on the Star Wars stuff. So there's no real need for them to reward us for that. But hey, they're out on top doing it for us anyway.
And Gentle Giant collectors can rejoice. The Star Wars animated line continues with Darth Vader in a striking black and white kind of look, I guess. At any rate, blister.jp has the exclusive Japanese edition. Only 250 of these, 250 more will be available in the U.S. starting in December. So you might want to check that out and get the details if you're a collector of that line. Also, Princess Leia has finally landed. After months of waiting, the white-hot Star Wars animated Princess Leia and R2-D2 maquette has arrived, and it brings the hyper-stylized space princess to life with her trusty droid and delivers them unto you into a handy sculpture. So you can check that out. $79.99 is the retail price on that, so go ahead and click on over to the folks at Entertainment Earth and order yourself up one of those. Now, the value of these things is certainly makes it an attractive collectible, so if the Leia turns out to be anything like this nobody Padme, you might want to make sure you get one of those. Also, straight from the 1977 classic, Episode 4, A New Hope, the Star Wars Princess Leia Organa mini bust is coming soon to a galaxy near you. The 6-inch tall bust is sculpted with a kind of realism you've come to expect from Gentle Giant. Any items coming out next year? Pre-orders are first come, first serve. Pre-orders are up now. So check it out at rebelscum.com. We've got some links to follow if you want to order that. And I thought about getting this one because I got the Ben. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll just get like all of the 30th anniversary New Hope inspired mini busts. You know, I mean, I could sort of...
You could justify that.
I think I could. So maybe I'll be picking up one of these Leias. And there's a gallery of the... now, these are cool. I'd seen these before, but I hadn't seen them in such detailed photos. There's a gallery of the Mos Eisley Cantina bookends from Gentle Giant that has the alcove with Han and Greedo for that famous shootout there. And They're basically, well, they're bookends. They look to be pretty big. I can't really tell from the photos the scale of them, but they look very, very cool. Again, the kind of sculpting you expect from Gentle Giant. So if you're interested in those, you can at least check out some photos. I'm not sure if those are still available or what the status is on those, but I'm sure you'll be able to find it right quick.
And just a couple of quick updates from Master Replicas. First off, they found a very limited quantity, less than 100, of the Luke Skywalker Episode 4 lightsaber scaled replicas. So they just found these. They've released them. So make sure that you pop over, if you're a collector of those and you missed out, make sure you pop over as soon as possible so you can pick one of those up. And the Millennium Falcon Studio Scale replica is beginning to ship. So look forward to that in the next couple weeks. Yes, of course, another Christmas present for some of you out there. So hopefully that'll arrive by Christmas for all of you out there. And Master Replicas keeps things coming out. So check them out. Also, they're having a holiday sale, so check out their website if you are looking for to pick up a Master Replicas for Christmas, like I am.
The boxes on that Millennium Falcons are huge.
Yes.
They had the back of the UPS truck photographed to kind of give you an idea of what to expect when this thing hits your doorstep. I know what to expect. Me running around the bushes trying to steal it off your porch. And you know we love the miscellaneous news here in our collecting segment. Just when you thought it was safe, there are more Momoko flash drive characters being announced. The latest is R2-D2. Shouldn't we all chip in and get Dustin one of these, don't you think?
Maybe he gets a Christmas present.
Maybe.
Maybe he gets us a Christmas present.
Oh, anyway, the Momoko flash drive characters continue with R2-D2. So he's going to be available in 1 gig, 2 gig, and 4 gigabyte versions. You can check all the photos out at rebelscum.com and theforce.net. If you are a collector of the Momoko USB flash drives, you certainly don't want to miss out on R2. This one's probably one of the better ones. But yeah.
He still has the little ears.
The ears things.
Looks like R2 went to Disney World. Maybe his name is in cursive on the back.
Oh. And you Kubrick's collectors might want to take a look at some of the chase figures that have been showing up. One being the Anakin Skywalker in the Sebastian Shaw Anakin Skywalker likeness, but he's not a ghost here. He's actually painted, and he's got eyebrows and hair and everything. So you might want to check that out. That's kind of a neat collectible. Also, a couple other chase figures, one of the blue Senate guards and Yak Face have been spotted. So, and continuing along the line of the Metacom Kubrick's figures, you can check out photos of the newest wave, a 5-pack, including Luke Skywalker in Dagobah fatigues with Yoda in the backpack, C-3PO in animated droids paint colorings, which is pretty cool, actually. The Snowtrooper, the A-Wing pilot, 2-1B medic droid, and an exclusive Shadow Trooper. The Shadow Trooper is everywhere.
He's easy. Like,
he is easy. If you're a Kubrick's collector, you might want to check those out. We will have all of the links to those on our show notes.
And I don't think there's anybody out there, at least sports fans out there, that have looked at those Fathead vinyl cutout posters, I guess is what you would call them, of football players that you can slap on your wall, their life size, that thought, you know what? I think there would be some good Star Wars ones of those. And guess what? There are now. They're taking pre-orders right now for 7 of your favorite characters. Darth Vader, Stormtrooper, Yoda, Chewbacca, C-3PO, R2-D2, and Boba Fett are all now available at fatheads.com or fathead.com for pre-order. Now, these are coming in at $150 and very cool. I actually do remember thinking, all right, here's a Fathead and Pittsburgh Steeler quarterback Ben Roethlisberger is the spokesman. He's on the commercial, and they look just like him. I mean, they're obviously photograph quality vinyl, static things that you can stick on your wall, but they pop out at you. Obviously, they're right there.
Yeah,
so
they almost have like a 3D look to them.
Yeah, and you know, depending on how you paint the walls or what you do with that, it could be something that's very cool. So check those out at fathead.com, as could be another good Christmas gift for anybody that's looking for something for the Star Wars fan that has everything.
All the classic battles.
Delta Squad, execute door breach.
Any way you want.
We have all but destroyed the Jedi Knights.
Fight as a Jedi.
The Old Republic is crippled.
Fight in space.
Darth 3PO?
Well, LucasArts has announced something special for everybody for the holiday season. The Best Of PC package will be available for this Christmas. I believe it's out now for $39.99, which is the suggested retail. This is going to have five different games that you can play. Classic games of the Star Wars era, some really cool ones. Star Wars Empire at War, which is obviously the new one that just came out, so that's a good deal right there. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, the original Battlefront, Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast, Republic Commando, and also a bonus 14-day trial for Star Wars Galaxies. Now, these are all games that were great Star Wars titles and revolutionized the Star Wars universe in their own way. So to have them all in the same package and to have them at $40, I mean, you can't beat that now. That's a great title. And if you haven't played any of these games, definitely go out and grab it. It's great to have them all in the one set, but Republic Commando is a great game. Battlefront, the original. I still like playing the original, even though I've got the second one. I still like playing the original from time to time. Knights of the Old Republic is the standard of Star Wars games. It's the best role-playing game I've ever played. So all of those games on one package is just a great deal. And also, along the gaming lines, there's a couple more Star Wars Starship Battles miniatures that have showed up. The Techno Union Starfighter and the Utapauan Starfighter have been previewed. Now, if you are a fan of this game, and I haven't played it yet, I know there's a lot of people out there that are fans of it, and even just to collect the ships, as it were, definitely keep checking out the Wizards of the Coast page, and as well Rebel Scum, since we update that pretty regularly, because they're revealing some of these all the time, and it's cool to see some of these making their way into actual form for the first time. There's never been a release of a Techno Union Starfighter or Utapauan Starfighter in anything else, so it's maybe the only way you could ever get some of these. So they look great. They've done a nice job with it, and I'm sure that it's a lot of fun for a lot of the people that are out there. So
someone's gonna have to explain that game to me one of these days.
Well, game things aren't really your things, so
they're not,
so we'll just keep that to ourselves. So
I still have a hard time with the action figure board game that came out about how many years ago? Like 8 years ago? Yeah,
quite some time ago. And wrapping things up in gaming, there was an article this week posted by Colin Campbell of Business Week that where he had a chance to speak with some people from LucasArts, specifically Nancy McIntyre, the VP of Global Sales and Marketing. Now, there's a lot of interesting stuff there, and I encourage you to check out our show notes so you can link to the article. But one of the things that they talked about, beyond, obviously, Star Wars 07, which is the media event that they're coming out with, they've dubbed that Star Wars 07. So whenever you hear us talk about that, that's what we're referring to.
That's the working title.
That's the working title. But she also talked about the fact that the future includes a lot of the franchises that we all have come to really enjoy, Knights of the Old Republic and Battlefront. We broke it a couple weeks ago that there was rumors that a Battlefront 3 was in the works, but obviously they're trying to tap into those franchises again with Battlefront and Knights of the Old Republic. There's no specifics given on it other than the fact that Nancy McIntyre did say that they realize how important those games are and those franchises are to the overall franchise, and they definitely want to take advantage of that. So check out that article, because there's a lot of interesting things that are put on there and what their future is. And obviously they are taking a very serious line on the games from here on out, because they're going to use them as kind of not only buffers to get to the other parts of the media series, like the animated series and the live show, but they're going to use them as the events themselves. We already know Star Wars 07 is going to be, and I think they're going to take that same marketing campaign with a lot of the titles that are going to follow, and they're really doing a lot of interesting things. They talk about an Indiana Jones game that really focuses in on realism, which should be pretty interesting because it's taking on things that have never been done in the gaming world before. So LucasArts is on the cutting edge, as always. And I can't wait to see what they come out with.
Yeah, I'm guessing that there will probably be a few more Indiana Jones games before we see another Indiana Jones movie.
I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father. Before the dark times. Before the Empire.
Always in motion is the future. Beyond the Outer Rim.
Master Voss has moved his troops to Bos Pity.
Well, since we haven't been around for a few days. We took a week off. We didn't bring you much news. We want to bring you up to speed on the expanded universe and what you may see at your local comic shop or your local bookseller. First of all, Legacy of the Force continues with Book 3, Tempest. That's the paperback by Troy Denning. He's continuing the saga of intrigue and betrayal as Jason Skywalker. He's continuing the saga of intrigue and betrayal as Jason Solo makes the decisions that will affect the galaxy far into the future. It is, of course, published by Del Rey and available where fine books are sold. And for you Dark Horse fans, you might want to check out your local comic book shop, as this week marked the release of the latest issue of Star Wars Legacy, of course, by John Ostrander and Jan Dresma. You want to check that out. It's, again, a series we've kind of talked about that. We've even had some listener mail series that a lot of folks are enjoying, ourselves included. So you might want to check that out. And then last week saw the release of Knights of the Old Republic number 10 by John Jackson Miller and Brian Ching. So you want to check that out for you KOTOR fans out there. And our good buddy Jay Shepard is back this week once again with his introduction to the expanded universe. And this is part 3 in his, well, let's just say primer. For those of you that are wanting to delve into the EU but might be a little intimidated, where do I start? Well, Jay's given you a real good overview of the various eras where you just might find yourself being interested.
Welcome to the third installment of the Introduction to the Expanded Universe. This segment covers what has become in the past 7 years one of the largest growing segments of the Star Wars EU, the Rise of the Empire, also known as the Prequel Era. Prior to the late 90s and the Phantom Menace, this portion of the EU was considered off-limits. Obviously, Lucas had plans for this era with the prequels and didn't want authors to play with it. Technically, the classic Han Solo and Lando Calrissian books took place at the tail end of this era, but were self-contained enough to avoid any kind of spillover into the timeline. While this era is 1,000 years, not all of this era has been written about. The majority of the literature is focused in the last 46 years prior to the Battle of Yavin. This is not to say that there was nothing happening during the earlier times, but it's mostly backstory snippets, possibly some short stories, or maybe the birth of a major character or two. This era also features the first and only example of the EU influencing the films. Prior to 2002, the path was always first something happens in a film, and then it gets expanded on in the EU. Suddenly, and to fans' delights, we had an expanded universe character debuting in Attack of the Clones. The story goes that George Lucas saw the cover of Dark Horse's Star Wars number 33 by John Foster, and was struck by the blue Twi'lek on the cover, Aayla Secura. He decided then to incorporate her into the Battle of Geonosis. From there, many new doors opened, and Revenge of the Sith included Secura again, plus reference to her master, Quinlan Voss, and several EU planets. Well, there's a lot to cover between comics and novels, so I'm going to get right into this list. We're going to go through this chronologically, mixing the comics and books, and starting at about 44 BBY is the Stark Hyperspace War, which tells an early Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan story from Star Wars by Dark Horse. Next, we jump to the Scholastic's Jedi Apprentice series by Jude Watson. This 20-book junior novel series tells of Obi-Wan's life at the temple prior to becoming Qui-Gon's Padawan. It introduces readers to Qui-Gon's first apprentice Xanatos and friends such as Bant and Ciri. The series is followed by a pair of short mini-series from Dark Horse, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan's Last Stand on Ord Mantell, and Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan The Ororient Express, also by Dark Horse. Jumping to 33 BBY, we find the first and only Jedi Council series, Acts of War, which is about Mace Windu, Qui-Gon, and a handful of other masters traveling to the planet of Yinchor to stop an insidious plot by the Sith. From here we start filling in the timeline. Next we find a story of Ki-Adi Mundi's ascension to the Council in Prelude to Rebellion in Star Wars by Dark Horse. This series was actually released about 6 months prior to Episode 1, giving fans a sneak peek at some of the characters and events in the prequels. Next is Darth Maul, also from Dark Horse, which introduces us to the Dark Lord of the Sith as he performs an important task for his master against the Black Sun criminal organization. The next three books serve as a lead-in to Episode 1, starting with the first Star Wars ebook, Darth Maul Saboteur, by Michael Reeves, in which Maul works his way to sway some mining company loyalties. Then the political thriller Cloak of Deception by James Luceno, which features the machinations of Palpatine towards Valorum and his fellow senators. And finally, Darth Maul Shadow Hunter, also by Michael Reeves, again with a tale of Maul attempting to silence a leak in the Trade Federation which could prevent Darth Sidious's plans from continuing. Fortunately, Maul completed his task and the Trade Federation was able to blockade the small planet of Naboo. But you already knew that, no, at least you do if you read Episode 1 The Phantom Menace by Terry Brooks, or saw a movie based on that. Following Episode 1 is a recent addition to the mythos, Outbound Flight by Timothy Zahn, detailing the ill-fated Outbound Flight project and the Jedi Master Joris Sabaoth, which was mentioned in the original Thrawn trilogy. Make sure to listen to the New Republic era segment for more on that. The next batch of stories all come from Dark Horse's Star Wars series. Both Outlander and Emissaries to Malastare focus on members of the Jedi Council and introduce Aesharad Het, the Tusken Jedi. Then we are introduced to Quinlan Vos and Aayla Secura, two regulars that will move in and out of the series up until Revenge of the Sith. Their adventures start with Twilight, move into Infinity's End, The Hunt for Aurra Sing, Darkness, and Rite of Passage. These tales introduce us to Quinn's darker side, the bounty hunter Aurra Sing, and a band of deadly Nikto Morgukai assassins. At 29 BBY, we find a new Jedi Order prequel of sorts in Rogue Planet by Greg Bear, in which Anakin and Obi-Wan travel to the sentient planet of Zenoma Saycot. The next 4 years are chronicled through the Jedi Quest series from Scholastic. Dark Horse adapted the hardcover version of Path to Truth as well, but there are also 10 books in this series about Anakin's tutelage under Obi-Wan Kenobi. Dark Horse then brings Jango Fett and Zam Wessel one-shots to help lead into the Attack of the Clones, which showcase the two bounty hunters. They also provide some backstory on the pirate Captain Nim, which is from the Episode 1 Starfighter game in Starfighter Crossbones. Dark Horse's Star Wars comic is then reborn as Republic for the first tale prior to Attack of the Clones, Honor and Duty, which tells of Sigoro Autumn, one of the Blue Senate Guards, and his story. Del Rey comes back into the mix with the Episode 2 lead-in novel, The Approaching Storm, by Star Wars alum Alan Dean Foster, and then the Episode 2 Attack of the Clones novelization by R.A. Salvatore. The 3 years between Episodes 2 and 3, in which the Clone Wars were fought, took place in near real time in the expanded universe. Most stories were published in order and tied together to form a larger story of the Clone Wars. It starts out with Scholastic's Boba Fett series, 6 books that help Boba step into the larger universe as he figures out how to fill his father's shoes. Then there's Karen Travis's Republic Commando Hard Contact, chronicling Omega Squad and a spin-off from the LucasArts video game of the same name. Then the Mace Windu Heart of Darkness story called Shatterpoint by Matthew Stover and The Legacy of the Jedi, which tells of Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Dooku as apprentices in the Jedi Temple. Dark Horse continued their unfolding of the Clone Wars throughout the Republic series, the Jedi One-Shots, which feature Mace Windu, Shaak-Ti, Aayla Secura, Yoda, and Dooku, as yes, he was a Jedi, and the expansion of the Tartakovsky animated style in the Clone Wars adventures. The second year of the Clone Wars brings us the Cestus Deception by Stephen Barnes and its companion ebook, The Hive, about Obi-Wan's battles on Ord Cestus, and Republic Commando 000 by Karen Travis, continuing the adventures of Omega and Delta squads. These are then followed by the MedStar Duology, Battle Surgeons and Healer, by Steve Perry and Michael Reeves. They depict another side of the war from a RIMSU, which is a Republic Mobile Surgical Unit. It's kind of MASH in space. Then Jedi Trial, by David Sherman and Dan Cragg, where Anakin finally gets a chance to lead a battle under Nija Halcyon. Yoda Dark Rendezvous by Sean Stewart, allowing the Jedi Master to shine while seeing the war also from Dooku's vantage point. Then there were also two more Boba Fett Jr. books and a sequel to Legacy of the Jedi called Secrets of the Jedi. Dark Horse wraps up the events with General Grievous, a miniseries showcasing Episode 3's villain, and Obsession, chronicling the final fates of Dirge and Asajj Ventress, two characters introduced specifically for the Clone Wars. The Episode 3 lead-in book is Labyrinth of Evil by James Luceno, which documents the days before Revenge of the Sith and provides details of Palpatine's abduction, although slightly different from what was shown in the third season of the Clone Wars cartoons and the Reversal of Fortune Hyperspace web strip. Then, of course, comes Revenge of the Sith by Matthew Stover and a closely related follow-up book, Dark Lord, by James Luceno. The prequel portion of this era is rounded out by the latest Scholastic series, The Last of the Jedi, which to date has six books and follows Obi-Wan and Ferris Olin as they navigate the dangerous post-Revenge of the Sith days. Dark Horse follows up this time frame with their newest comic series, Dark Times, which continues its tales from where Republic left off. We now have about an 8-year break in the timeline and find ourselves in the last 10 years of the era, learning about what made Han Solo's early life in The Paradise Snare and The Hutt Gambit, both by A.C. Crispin. Then learning what made Lando the shrewd gambler that we see in Episode 5 in the Lando Calrissian trilogy, all by L. Neil Smith. And finally back to some remaining Han Solo adventures in Rebel Dawn, also by A.C. Crispin, and Han's first trilogy by Brian Daley. The official site tells us that soon there will be a book about the Death Star, by Michael Reeves and Steve Perry, that should fit in about here in the timeline, which should be out around 2007. We'll then finish out the era in the Dark Horse comics, where we find a pair of droids miniseries, a quartet of Jabba the Hutt tales collected in Jabba the Hutt, The Art of the Deal, a Boba Fett vs. Darth Vader miniseries called Enemy of the Empire, and a miniseries about a mysterious gem and the race to get it in Underworld, the Yavin Basilica. Remember that these are not all that's occurring during this time frame, as there are always short stories and other tidbits that are created for backstory in other mediums. However, this should give you a guide to the major works in place during the era. Be sure to check our show notes for more information on the Rise of the Empire era and listen in for future segments where I will continue to give you an introduction to the remaining eras and keep you updated to the current happenings in that galaxy far, far away.
And thank you, Jay Shepard, for that.
Fantastic information, as always.
As always. That guy is just something else. He's a human holocron. That's what we say. And, well, Pete?
That leads us in pretty well to our EU character of the week for this show.
And who
Ayla Sakura is this week's...
I'm sorry. Ayla Sakura. Played by the uber-talented and lovely
Amy Allen.
Yeah.
And I took a little different tack this week. There's a few things and a few tidbits that I leave out even more so than I have in the past. So I'm not giving away as much of the story as I have and some of the interactions. So you definitely want to check out the books, or if you're interested at all in the character, make sure that you're going to the actual sources for the more information, because there's really a lot out there. And just like, you know, it took however long for Jay to go through all the books that are out there, this is just a quick overview of that, of the character and her appearances. But I think you guys will enjoy it.
Did you cut out the part when I marry her at the end?
Yes. Just like all the Harry Potter people that want to marry Harry Potter, you are not allowed to marry Ayla Sakura either.
Oh, so. Here you go, Ayla Sakura.
Ayla was born into the Sakura clan on the planet Ryloth. Her force prowess was discovered at an early age, but not in the conventional Jedi way. The young Twi'lek was being hidden amongst the Hutt slaves and may have been killed in the Hutt's rampage, but Quinlan Vos, on the planet for another mission, sensed her presence and rescued her. Quinlan persuaded Master Tolm to take her back with them to Coruscant so she could be trained as a Jedi. Vos became her master, and the two undertook several missions for the Jedi Order. On a mission to investigate glitteral sources on Ryloth, Ayla and Vos were captured and drugged, which gave both amnesia. Her uncle, Pol Sakura, took her and fed her more drugs in order to keep her hidden from her former life. Vos eventually found her and tried to restore her memory, but failed. He tangled with Pol, and while Ayla tried to help Pol from the stranger, she accidentally force-pushed her uncle off a cliff. She blamed the stranger and vowed revenge. She left Ryloth and hid herself on a pirate ship en route to K'fex. It was there that she discovered and released the Dark Jedi, Volf Karko, from a stasis field. She gave in to the dark side of the Force.
The lure of the dark side is difficult to resist.
And he gave her command of his Enzadi minions to hunt down the Jedi on the planet. Ayla took the Enzadi and stormed their base. There she faced off against Quinlan Vos, Tolm, and Zhao, and fled with their prisoners. Quinlan followed her and reached the prison of Karko. Again she fought Vos, but stopped when she rediscovered her true identity. At that moment, Karko used Force Lightning to knock her out. When she woke up, she found Karko dead. Ayla and Master Tolm returned to Coruscant, and like Quinlan, she was retrained in the Jedi Temple. Plo Koon agreed to use his telepathy to guide Ayla as she arranged her newly recovered memories. Before the Clone Wars erupted, Ayla went undercover in the Fenn clan and discovered a plan to attack her ancestors. She followed the clues throughout the galaxy, eventually meeting up with Quinlan Vos once again. They battled their way into Karras Fenn's fortress and managed to rescue the captured Nat Sakura, but Fenn escaped. Recognizing their heroics, the Jedi Council granted Ayla and Vos the rank of Jedi Master. Ayla was part of a group of Jedi that went to Geonosis to rescue Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I will take what Jedi we have left and go to Geonosis and help Obi-Wan.
She survived the initial standoff in the arena, and then led a battalion of clones in the ensuing battle. As the Clone Wars erupted throughout the galaxy, she was made general of the 327th Star Corps. Her battalion snapped into action as they intercepted some prototype technology from a Separatist scientist just after the Battle of Geonosis. She left her command temporarily to go undercover to search for her friend Quinlan Vos. She located Vos, and together they uncovered a plan for a Separatist attack on Kamino. The Republic arrived in time to defend Kamino, and Ayla piloted her starfighter to help defend the planet. She remained there, and along with Kit Fisto, helped thwart a sabotage attempt on the cloning units. Knowing that in war, there is no rest for the weary, she joined Ki-Adi Mundi, Shaak-Ti, and several other Jedi on High Pori to locate and destroy a droid factory. Their clones suffered heavy losses.
General Kenobi! General Kenobi!
Yes, Master Barrack.
Need immediate evac from planet High Pori. Our forces are totally destroyed. Only a few of us left. New droid general. He's unstoppable. Can't hold out for long. General Grievous is hunting us.
And the Jedi faced a menacing new opponent, General Grievous.
I know that I, General Grievous, am not completely without a mercy. I will grant you a warrior's death. Prepare.
Ayla was barely able to escape alive as Captain Frodo and the ARC troopers swooped in for a rescue. After she recovered, Ayla investigated Separatist raids on Republic supply lines along the Corellian trade spine. She went undercover again, this time as the daughter of a spoiled Twi'lek shipping baron, and managed to infiltrate Senator Venus Malik's apartment as her guest, with Tolm and Dark Woman posing as her servants. The senator was backing the raiders, hoping to play both sides of the war. The senator hired Aurra Sing to cover her plans, and the bounty hunter targeted the undercover Jedi. Ayla survived her ambush, and the two dueled. She was able to defeat Aurra by feeding her rage, recounting her feelings of abandonment. She subdued Sing and turned her over to the authorities, and took the new information to Kit Fisto, and they stopped the raids. Ayla and her Star Corps, led by Commander Bly, were dispatched to Fallujah to investigate the poisoning of its water supply.
On Fallujah, the Sips dug their metal heels into the muck of that alien hellhole and dared the Republic to come in after them. So we did. Only to be met with the month after month of flesh-eating diseases, shrieking nocturnal predators, and other sights that haunt me to this day. Cut off and for all we knew, abandoned by our superiors, our only hope was Ayla Sekuda, our Jedi commander. Without her iron will, none of us would have come out of that mess with our sanity or our lives. When her death came, I hope it was quick. She earned that much.
During this operation, Order 66 was issued.
Execute Order 66.
It will be done, my lord.
And her friend, Commander Bly, ordered his troops to take her down. The Empire reported that she had been executed while attempting to poison the water herself. However, Ayla was remembered by the peoples of the world she helped, in some cases, merging with pre-existing goddesses, myths, or historical figures. The descendants of these worlds continue to write accounts of her life. You can follow the heroics of Aayla Secura in Star Wars Republic, Twilight, Heart of Fire, Star Wars Republic, Darkness, Star Wars Republic, The Stark Hyperspace War, Star Wars Republic, Rite of Passage, Holonet News, Volume 53147, Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, Tides of Terror, Star Wars Republic 49, Sacrifice, Star Wars Republic 50, The Battle of Kamino, Jedi, Aayla Secura, Star Wars Republic, Show of Force, Star Wars Republic 68, Armor, Star Wars Republic, Trackdown, the Star Wars Animated Clone Wars series, Chapters 20, 21, and 22, Star Wars Obsession, Star Wars Republic, The Siege of Salyukami, Reversal of Fortune, and Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Well, thank you very much for that. That was a good one.
Thank you.
One of my faves.
She is a very interesting character.
Oh, she's interesting. You know, it kind of brought up an issue that I think is kind of interesting is how the Jedi were remembered after they were wiped out. How were they remembered just by the common people? And you said in Aayla's case, they sort of made her sort of a cult figure or kind of how did you describe it in the stories?
Kind of mixed with mythical characters and historical figures and that type of thing. And I think generally, you know, what you see in the films is that by Episode 4, they've pretty much been forgotten in most of the realms of the universe. But I'm sure they're, especially with the alien species who are ostracized by the Empire, they see the Jedi as saviors and heroes and the things that they were.
And look at all the aliens that were Jedi. And so obviously it's symbolically it's a group that means inclusion and judging folks by the content of their character, not to be cliche, but you know, rather than their differences. So, but that's just kind of an interesting topic to me is how were they remembered and in what circles were they revered and what circles were they, you know, like did the common people just swallow the story that the Empire gave them about, you know, how they were wiped out and why they were wiped out. So I guess we'll that's, you know, as Jay was mentioning, that's sort of unfolding still, that whole era. So we'll know.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arthur, the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And your Star Wars emails just keep rolling in. We're grateful for that. First of all, we're going to kick off our Star Wars tales. If you don't mind, Pete, I'll go ahead and start this week. This coming from Jacob. Jacob says, hey guys, just come to say that I love the podcast. The EU segments are my favorite. I've read around 83 EU books. Wow. I love how it fleshes out what wasn't seen in the movies and the events leading up to and after the movies. I did notice that Jovial Jay was wrong about Tatooine being an EU name. The planet is not actually named in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. According to Lucas, he used the name Utpal in the script, but eventually renamed it after the movie's desert location, Tatooine in Tunisia. It's also mentioned in Episode 1, which makes it G-canon. Also, I wanted to share my Star Wars tale with you. My first impression of Star Wars was fear. When I was about 4 years old, I was at my aunt's house, and I went into my cousin's room to take a nap. I saw a poster of what I thought was a green-skinned demon. Of course, it turned out to be Yoda. Afterwards, my mom said I was probably old enough to see the movies. When we got home, I watched the whole original trilogy. About 2 years later, Episode 1 came out, and I got to go see it. Ever since, I've been hooked. So, thanks, Jacob. Appreciate that, and we'll let Jovial Jay sit on that one.
Stick that in his back pocket. Our next Star Wars tale comes from Louis Secchi, who also has a little chime in about the Star Wars in HD. Says, I want to add my 2 cents about the HD thing. I live in the Northeast and subscribe to Comcast. No, I did not watch it in HD, as I do not subscribe to Cinemax. Plus, I figured that HBO would have it soon. Cannot be a good Star Wars fan if you're not used to waiting for things like the movies. The way HD works around here is, yes, you have to have an HD cable box, and you need to subscribe to that HD channel, in this case Cinemax, and you need to have that HD TV. If you have all those, you're good. You mentioned that you see the phrase in HD where available a lot on the shows you watch. I see that too. I see that too, even though I subscribe to HD with Comcast. I see it on TNT and USA, among others. Well, TNT may offer HD channel, but Comcast in my area does not offer it. seems that cable operators are still only offering a limited lineup of HD channels. Assume it has to do with bandwidth. Right now, I think Comcast offers something like HD channels. I think that's about where we're at, too. Maybe a few more than that. But
yeah, depending on which tier you subscribe to. Okay, so I'm wrong. I to me, those... Like I said, those History Channel documentaries where they say in HD we're available, dang, they look good on my TV. If they're not HD, they certainly are fantastic. So I guess it's not possible unless you actually have a dedicated HD channel. Fine, I was wrong about that. I didn't know. Learn things new every day. That's why we have a very well-rounded group of listeners. They know these things.
And we'll move on to a Star Wars tale.
Oh, good.
My wife, I love her with all my heart, is not a Star Wars fan. She has only seen the movies in bits and pieces. She does tolerate my Star Wars fetish, however. When we were married back in 1999, she spent a lot of time on the details, and I only asked for one thing. When the wedding party was introduced at the reception, I wanted them to walk into the Imperial March. Of course, I did not get to see the reaction of people over the wedding party firsthand, but I did see it on the video after the fact. When the music started, the room loved it, and the wedding party had huge smiles on their faces as they walked in. Well, I don't think anybody doesn't smile when the Imperial March comes on. I know I walk a little heavier and a little taller when that comes on, so I'm glad she gave in to that one little tidbit of to give you guys a little Star Wars moment.
And our next Star Wars tale comes from Doug. He says, hey, Forcecasters, my name is Doug, and I'm a new listener. I'm 22 years old and hail from Southern California. I just wanted to say I'm enjoying the show and plan on backtracking past episodes. I have a Star Wars tale for you. You can share it if you want. It involves my wedding. Now, my wife and I were driving and discussing things for upcoming nuptials, and she mentioned that when the bridal party and groomsmen walked down that she wanted something catchy yet elegant but not wedding-ish. I reached behind my seat and grabbed my CD book. Now, you know you got a Star Wars geek when the guy's got his CD book with it. I love it. Okay. I reached behind my seat and grabbed my CD book that holds all my Star Wars CDs. I stuck in the Episode 2 soundtrack and changed it to Across the Stars. She was sold from the beginning. Of course, what's better than that is that at the wedding, we played two songs. When my wife and I were announced to the guests, cue to the end song to Episode 4, I was in fanboy heaven. Sorry this was long. Keep it up, Doug. I'll go ahead and chime in with my own experience when my wife and I got married. This is turning out to be a very unoriginal thing for Star Wars fans to do, but you just got to. When we were married, we had a very appropriate song. It was like from the Mad About You soundtrack. Yeah, for the wedding. Yeah. Hey, you're next, pal. I know it's coming for you. And and so they were introducing the bridal party and the Mad About You song. So then when they introduced us, the main title came on, and the DJ did such a great job, and he timed it just perfect as we came in there in the room, and everybody loved it. Everybody smiled like, "Oh, yeah, you know, we know Jason the way he is." And my wife was kind of got, you know, a little embarrassed, but she liked it. She liked it. So there's probably a lot of these stories, so keep them coming.
And our last Star Wars tale for today comes from Amanda from Albuquerque, New Mexico, which she calls Tatooine. Now, having never been there, I would assume that she's probably right. It looks pretty dry from where I'm at. But anyway, she says, my name's Amanda, and being born in 1992 means that I am of the prequel generation. I only got into Star Wars intensely after Episode 3, but have found many fond memories of seeing the prequels in the theater when I was a true youngling. Other than thinking Darth Maul was the coolest thing I had ever seen, that I needed to get a pod racer, I don't remember much of Episode 1. I did recently find my Queen Amidala costume from back then and was deeply saddened to learn that it doesn't fit anymore. My tale truly focuses on Episode 2's release, which I got to go to opening day thanks to one very cool teacher. She always insisted that school was not fun, so when she offered us to take the day off of school and go see Attack of the Clones, our forms read something like purpose, to study physics and the pop phenomenon of science fiction. We all went dressed up, and then it was off to a local park to demonstrate our Star Wars games. Mine was the favorite of the group when I took my toy lightsabers and we took turns chucking water balloons and trying to deflect them. The best part? At that point, I barely knew of the original trilogy and all its glory. Keep up the good works. I love the podcast a lot. That sounds like a lot of fun. What a cool teacher.
Yeah, no doubt. And I can't believe we have such a young lady listening to the show. I think that that's great.
Yeah, I'm hoping that she gets a lot of her fan friends involved and that they enjoy the podcast, because the younger generation is only the thing that's going to keep us going.
That's right. We got to pass the torch. And our first regular mail comes from Bruce in Centerville, Virginia. He says, hello, I am a new fan of your podcast and am now a dutiful fan. Ever since that first show I heard, I've been hooked. Nice show. Just a few things I'd like to talk about. My Cinemax feeling. Well, I saw Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi on Cinemax. I saw both on one rather old television, and it was okay. Nothing spectacular. Well, today, my stepdad got a new plasma screen. I think HD for his room. I was upstairs, and my mom called me. I came in, and it was the Battle of Hoth. It was awesome. I thought that the TV was perfect for all the film viewings. Just awesome. And a few other things. I heard on your show that C-3PO was least favorite character from two people. I also know Jar Jar doesn't go over too well. Well, I think they both worked out. C-3PO and in Return of the Sith, R2-D2 provide, in my mind, a sort of comedy to the dark times, like the light at the end of the tunnel. And if it weren't for Jar Jar, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan wouldn't have gotten to Theed, and my favorite character is going to be Obi-Wan. P.S. My grandparents live in Ohio, and over the summer, I went to Geauga Lake, the amusement park. It's just not too far from where we are. So thank you for that, Bruce. We appreciate it. And I'm glad somebody got to see this thing in HD.
Yeah. It sounds like it was great. And our next one comes from Nick in Kent, England. Said, hi, Jason and Pete. I just want to let you know what a superb job you are doing with the Forcecast. I make sure that I never miss it. I always have the current show on my iPod, and I listen on my way home from work because it brightens up an otherwise dull journey. My favorite section has to be the collecting news. It just makes me want to get out there and spend my hard-earned money on the Hasbro Star Wars figures again. I've had two previous attempts at collecting them. The first was when the original trilogy was released back in 1977. Well, okay, I was 5 at the time, so I played more than collected. But my parents later sold my entire collection, as they told me that I had grown out of it. Then in 1999, I started buying up the first waves of the Episode 1 figures and vehicles, but thanks to a messy divorce 3 years later, I no longer have any of them.
Ouch!
So now I am back to square one again. I hope it will be a case of third time lucky with the release of the 30th anniversary collection figures next year, which I intend to start collecting. Rest assured, there is no way I'm letting them out of my grip this time. I have a couple of quick questions regarding the movie soundtracks. Is there a chance we will ever see a double CD released of Episode 2 and 3 along the same lines as the Ultimate Episode 1 CD? Also, do you know why the track played by the Max Rebo Band on Jabba's sail barge on the way to the Pit of Carcoon is missing from Return of the Jedi soundtrack? Keep up the great work, and may the Force be with you. Now, we did get answers to these questions, and I know that Dustin Roberts chimed in to let us know exactly what the answers were.
Yeah, and actually, I think what Dustin was referring to in his answer about the soundtracks is a question that was posed to Steve Sansweet in one of the Star Wars Insiders not too long ago about just this. Will we ever see these double disc special edition, you know, soundtracks for episodes 2 and 3? And the answer was no, not at this time. Sony Classical does not have any plans for it. Apparently, the episode 1 soundtrack was not a big seller as far as the double disc. I think that's really sad because these scores are every bit as good as the original trilogy scores.
Absolutely.
And if you're a film score fan, it's definitely a big gap in your collection because we've got them all but two. So I'm hoping that Sony will see the light and maybe do something about that. It'd be nice. So if you're one of those that would really like to see this, you know, check it out, sonyclassical.com, and send them an email. Say, we want this. And our last listener mail comes from Phil Kogan, and Phil says, I was just listening to one of the latest podcasts you did, and you mentioned that people from outside the U.S. were going to C4. Well, I'm from the U.K., and I'll be attending C4 next year. I'm really looking forward to this, as it'll be my first time in over 10 years I have visited America, and I'll be spending a holiday around the C4 event. Looking forward to the special episode of the Forcecast you're doing on C4, as there are many questions I have, which I'd love to be answered before I attend. I know there are a few members of the U.K. garrison, 501st, attending this event, and I hope there's going going to be plenty of other UK Star Wars fans attending as well. If any of you guys are planning to visit the UK for Celebration Europe and need help or advice on hotels and travel, I would gladly help out with any info you need. Oh, and I am guessing Gatorade is a drink you have over there. We don't have this in the UK. Keep up the good work. So there you go. There's our resident UK expert who is willing to help out any of you Forcecast listeners that are going to be making the trek over across the pond to Celebration Europe. You can drop us an email at podcast@theforce.net. We'll make sure we get your questions over there to Phil since he's offered to help out.
I really think we need to go. I would love to go.
Oh, I would too.
I've never been to New York.
There's no way. You got to fly across ocean to get there. Oh, and that's one of my rules.
Maybe we can take the Titanic.
I would.
You probably would take the Titanic over a plane.
I think I might. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show.
It's good to be home.
Absolutely. We want to thank all of you for listening every week and for emailing us and sending us your voicemails. We really appreciate it. We appreciate the support. And there's lots of ways that you can participate in the show.
Absolutely. You can email us at podcast@theforce.net, or you can leave us a voicemail, and we'd like to encourage a few more of these each week. So please either dial us at 330-871-4TFN, or if you're on Skype, we hope you are, you can send us a message at username Forcecast.
And we want to congratulate all of the winners in our top 10 by October 31st contest. You should be hearing from us very soon about your prizes. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for voting. Thanks for the support and all the love. We send it right back at you. For the Forcecast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.